It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
This is a madhouse. This is a madhouse in Minneapolis here at the Mall of America, day three of Radio Row. Thanks to our friends at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales, 3 miles east of Richmond, off Route 2 in Jonesville. I mean, all Radio Row days are fun. They are all crazy in their own way. They're all challenging in their own way.
Thanks a lot.
I have not seen one just like this. I have not seen one quite like this. Let's set the scene for the day and recap if you're just joining us. Some of you just getting out of work, 6 Eastern. So Radio Row is, I want to say there's about 80 stations in here overall, which is a down number from previous years. And it's not because people don't want to come here. It's because they have decided to put Radio Row in a more condensed space inside the Mall of America. That's fine. So they've reduced the number of tables to try to alleviate the concerns for lack of space, but they've put us all right next to each other, which, again, is fine for us to do the show. But when you start getting people walking in between, it gets very congested. And this was the day not only were people walking, their full entourages were with them. Hall of Famers, Terrell Davis is out here. Michael Irvin's out here today. Jerome Bettis is out here today. Old-time Hall of Famers like Carl Eller's out here. And Mike Haynes is out here. And Stephen A's here. And Doug Gottlieb's here. And Michael Kay's here. And they're doing their show. T.O. is here today. Current NFL players, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt, Luke Kuechly, Greg Olsen, the list goes on and on. Kirk Cousins was here. Tomorrow, Aaron Rodgers is going to be out here. I can only imagine what it is going to be like. It has been another fun day, and we are moving closer and closer to the Patriots in the Super Bowl once again. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Aaron is in the studio. He'll pass the messages along. We go up until 6:30 today, and then we bring you Catamount basketball back on the air against Binghamton as they reset in America East play. And the Cats, they have not lost since December. At this point, let's see now, what are they? At this point, 17-6 or something like that? I mean, Aaron, what's UVM? I've been gone for so long, I'm out of the loop. I think it's 12 in a row now for the Catamounts or something. I mean, they have not lost since Anthony Lamb got hurt. They have been that good. Remember, trivia tonight out at the City Sports Grill. We'll be watching that game. So listen to us on the way over and then watch the game when you get there. We do have a lot coming up. In fact, let's go right now to our first interview. Fred Kirsch is going to join us. And who is Fred Kirsch? Find out. Back here we are, Mall of America, Minneapolis, day three, leading up to another Patriots Super Bowl appearance and hopefully another Patriots win. You know, if you just go adjacent to Radio Row, pretty cool fan experience going on at the Patriots Not Done Network. And what this is 24 hours a day, all week long coverage leading up to the game. You can find it on Patriots.com. But we're talking with one of the guys who's very, very high up in the process here. It's Fred Kirsch, who's high up in the content distribution area of the Patriots. Fred, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, look, talk to me about the Not Done Network. What exactly are we doing here? I said 24-hour content, but this is not just repeat segments and repeat games. This is a whole big production.
No, this is real TV, if you will, all over the internet, and there's no shortcuts. We've got a full network truck down on the street. We've got about 80 people working on this endeavor, and like you said, we start at 8 in the morning every morning, and we run content all the way through. We've got reporters all over Minneapolis and St. Paul. We've got studio guests. We've got our radio shows that we're putting on video for this. So we're just filling the day at night. We run a lot of the stuff that, great stuff that NFL Films has done for the Patriots over the years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Three Games to Glory and America's Game video we run overnight. So the stream never stops.
So this is amazing. And look, this took longer than 13 days or 10 days to put together, right? So were you thinking all season, hey, if we get
get to a Super Bowl, we're going to do this?
No,
or?
It's just the opposite.
Oh, my goodness. So they beat Jacksonville, and you're like, okay, we're doing this.
No, I'm not going to lie. And we were thinking about it before Jacksonville. We were probably thinking about it at the beginning of January.
Yeah.
But in terms of finding a space here, this space that you see, that we're in right now, 12,000 square feet, came together in about a week.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it came together in a week, and the space that we're in was literally gutted. There wasn't even electricity in it. So we had to bring electricity. We had to, decorate the whole place, bring in the set, build the set. The set was built on Friday. I've been here since last Wednesday. The set was built on Friday, and we've been just going at it hard since then.
Now, is this the brainchild of you? Is this the brainchild of Robert Kraft somewhere in the middle?
Well, I thought of it, and they signed off on it.
That's always good, then.
Yeah. Last year when we went, we did a thing called Drive for Five because we were going through. And so we had a bus. We had one of those concert tour buses that we tricked out, and we drove it from Boston to Houston and picked up content along the way. But that was the week before Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
So this year, they were like, okay, so what are we going to do this year? Are we going to do the bus again? I'm like, we've done that. Let's do something different. And going into the playoffs, the theme for the team was not done.
Yep.
So we figured, all right, let's do something that's not done. All right, 24/7. Let's do content 24/7. Let's build a network, and then it built from there into not just a network, but having a fan engagement area as well. Doing it in a place that was big enough that fans could come in and watch the broadcast. Have a beer. Get some food and just relax. And so that's what we came to.
Yeah, you've made this a really good fan experience. Not only do you have the show, you got Patriots Cornhole over there. The cheerleaders are out. Pat Patriot
is
here.
We got a pool table, shuffleboard, pretzel bar, Anheuser-Busch, Pepsi products. We think it's a really good place for people to just come. And listen, even if you're not a Patriots fan, if you're a Vikings fan, you're welcome. Come on in.
No Eagle fans. You're not allowed, though.
Right.
real quick, I'll get you out of here on two quick questions. How did you assemble the talent? Because this is an A-list talent. Jay Crawford's doing a lot of your day. He's a longtime SportsCenter anchor. Molly McGrath was an ESPN employee. How did you get these guys to sign in?
Well, one of the people that helped me put this together, Robin Glazer for the team, is a friend of Molly's.
Mm-hmm.
So we fought for her, and ESPN was nice enough. She's under contract with ESPN. They were nice enough to allow her to come down for the week. So thank you, ESPN. Jay Crawford, he was just so eager to do this. He was with ESPN.
Right.
And again, they were nice enough to allow him to come and do this. We knew this was going to be hard. And, frankly, there's no one in our building, the Patriots, who has ever done this before, been a broadcast host for this amount of time. So we knew we had to bring in pros. And so Jay and Molly really came in, and they're doing an unbelievable job.
Fred, as I told you before we got this interview set up, we are your home for the Patriots in Vermont, all the way up to Montreal in some cases, and in northern New York. You got any messages for Patriots Nation up in the greater New England area?
No, we love you. I mean, thanks for being a Patriots fan. I know in Vermont there's a lot of New Yorkers.
This is Patriot fan week.
Absolutely. So we love it. And, and whenever you see something you want or, that we can do better, email us. There's feedback forms on Patriots.com. Or if you just want to tell us how we're doing, we're always happy to, get your feedback. So, by downloading the app or going on Patriots.com, send us an email. We want to hear from you because we're always looking for new ideas like this.
Fred Kirsch, Patriots Not Done Network, 24/7 on Patriots.com. And all I'm going to say is this. If the Pats win the Super Bowl, I hope the Lombardi Trophy comes to Burlington. That's what we're hoping.
All right.
That's what we want.
All right. Thanks, Brady.
All right, Fred. They appreciate it.
All right.
There he goes, Fred Kirsch. The Patriots Not Done Network is cool, and it's a very awesome part here of the third floor of the Mall of America. So basically, as we've said all week, we are inside the food court. We are right next to the food court. We're not directly in the middle of it. It's more in front of us than it is behind us. The amusement park is behind us. But also, just down in front of the food court is that Not Done Network. And, that's where you can see the cheerleaders are there and Pat Patriot's there and the live broadcasts are there. And that's where it's a party atmosphere. If you are coming in to Minneapolis, even if you're not going to the game, you're just looking for Super Bowl-related things to do, the Not Done Network is one of the places that you really do want to get to. It's Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Are any of you coming in here? Let us know on the Town Fair Tire text line. UVM basketball comes up in about 20 minutes. They're taking on Binghamton. Real quick, Tom versus Time number 3 came out yesterday. I thought these things were going to get released like once a week. They're coming out fast and furious. It's only a 6-part series, so we're halfway through it now. And episode 3 was called The Social Game, and I'm really, really liking what this miniseries is showing us. I mean, I think we know about Brady and the TB12 method, and episode 1 almost focused exclusively on his training and his work. Episode 2, we got to see a lot of him. It was called The Mental Game. See him break down tape. That was cool. The third one is called The Social Game, and you get to see him with his buddies, how he relates to the guys, and he's giving grief to Julian Edelman, and he's getting on Danny Amendola, and they're going at each other about weightlifting and Alex Guerrero and all that, and that was a little TB12-ish, but it was still really enlightening just to see the way he relates to his teammates, to his family in some cases, and his relationship with the game is very, very cool to see. I'm a big fan of this Tom versus Time web series, and I think Tom Brady is a really, really smart guy. I think he's really setting himself up well for his post-career in the NFL, and I think that probably lines up, as Albert Breer told us on Monday of the Monday Morning Quarterback, probably as some kind of life coach or fitness guru. But I think this has been really enlightening and really, really eye-opening. All right, trivia tonight at the City Sports Grill. But now, sitting down with us, somebody who's been very, very accomplished on the international stage. Kara Lynn Joyce, 3-time Olympic swimmer, is with us, multiple-time silver medalist. Kara, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Now, before we went on the air, you told me you have actually been to Vermont, because you're actually from upstate New York. You're from Glens Falls originally, which just is outside of our target area along 87, but you have been to northern New York and Vermont.
Oh, yeah. We used to go, there's like this, I don't know what you even call it, some kind of like sledding apparatus, not like winter sledding, but like summer sledding.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then we would get, like, hit up the maple syrup and do all that good stuff.
So you went to college at the University of Georgia, 18 national titles. What took a northern girl to Georgia?
The sunshine. No. Georgia, we were one of the best programs in the country. So we got second, and then we won, and then we got fifth when I was there. So top program. And I was really lucky to get recruited to one of the best schools in the country. And my whole family ended up moving down to Georgia eventually, and I think it's just like sometimes like you just get your fill of the snow.
Yeah. Now, I played college baseball, and it was harder in baseball to be a northern kid. Is it harder, easier to be a swimmer coming from the north? Do you get noticed more? Do you get noticed less? How does that work? Does it not matter?
No, it really doesn't matter. I mean, the swimming pools are like the same everywhere. It's the same distance. It's indoors. It's like a certain temperature. So like you've seen one pool, you've seen them all.
Yeah. Now, Winter Olympics next week. Take me through the feeling, what it's like to walk through the Olympic Stadium.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm, like, super nerding out for the Olympics starting. First of all, favorite event is ski jumping. I practice on Wii, and I feel like I could have been good at that. They're probably finishing up training camp right now and getting ready to head over to Pyeongchang. Out of all 3 of my Olympics, I actually only walked in opening ceremonies on the last Olympics.
Really?
In London. Yeah. So when you walk in opening ceremonies, it's like 5 or 6 hours on your feet, and you end up walking like 3 or 4 miles from the village over to the stadium. So if you're competing in the first couple days of the Olympics, you don't walk in opening ceremonies. But my last games, I didn't race until day 7, so I remember like the staging, you're kind of parading in there, and we were just about to walk into the stadium for like the announcement of United States of America, and I got overwhelmed with emotion. I had tears in my eyes and like chills all over my body, and I looked behind me and I saw the rest of like the U.S. congregation, and it was like famous NBA players and tennis stars and all of these people that like I've idolized and have like millions of followers and have been to like NBA championships and things like that, and everyone was feeling the same thing. Everybody had tears in their eyes. Everybody had their cameras out trying to record it, and it's such a special thing to just be a part of Team USA.
You were in 2004
before in Athens, 2008 in Beijing, 2012 in London. And I love asking this question to Olympians. What, when you had downtime, were there certain events you wanted to make sure that you hit? Like, you know, swimming is week one, track is week two, but did you get a chance, I don't know, gymnastics, basketball, what did you want to see?
So when swimming is going on, you're kind of in lockdown.
Yeah.
You just go to the pool with the team, you take the bus, you go back to the village and rest, and then it's on repeat for 8 days in a row. But once swimming is over, we kind of get that freedom to go and watch other events. I think I got to see like beach volleyball, I got to go to track and stuff like that. But actually in Beijing, so the men's basketball team, they only play every other day. So
yes,
they get every other day off. And Beijing was when Michael was going for his, you know, record 8 gold medals and world records. And the basketball team was like all about it. So on their off days, they came to the pool and sat with us and watched like, you know, all of the sessions and stuff. And I remember like sitting next to LeBron and he's like, what event is this? I'm like, oh, LeBron, this is actually the 200 individual medley where they swim one lap of each show. He's like, oh, cool, cool. You know, so
now
like,
you and LeBron are friends.
We're totally buddies. Yeah, Jason Kidd was there. Like, the whole, like, dream team was there.
Oh, that's incredible. Carolyn Joyce, Olympic, four-time silver medalist, three-time Olympian, here with us on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Who are you in the most awe of at the Olympics? Like, it's weird for me to ask an Olympian who's a medalist, who are you in awe of? But when you're telling me LeBron and Phelps and Usain Bolt's in the Olympics,
yeah,
like, there's got to be somebody.
I don't know if this is, like, the right answer, but honestly, like, I'm in awe of, like, my whole team.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm such a swim nerd and my event always came on the last day of swimming. So like I sit for 7 days and like I remember in 2012 when Katie Ledecky won her first gold medal, she was 15 years old. I was bawling in the stands,
yeah,
you know, just like I get my emotions so tied into like all of my teammates and their performances and stuff like that. But I don't know, growing up, my hero is always Summer Sanders.
Yeah.
When I say that to kids, like I'm like, yeah,
I've heard of Summer
Thank
Sanders.
Thank you.
So.
Yeah. She's amazing. But yeah, she was always my hero growing up.
You mentioned being there for Michael Phelps going for the record. You mentioned being there at the early stages of Katie Ledecky's dominance. What is that like? Like just witnessing that stuff?
It's cool. I feel like it was really cool. You know, Michael and I went to three Olympics together, and to be a part of the generation that changed swimming in the public's eye. You know, when Michael was 15, he said he wanted to change the sport, and you know, 18 years later, he did. He really did. And I just feel so lucky that I was a part of this sport and a part of, you know, this movement that he created. So I love it. I love that he's a household name. I love that people want to watch swimming, and a huge part of that is because of him.
So when we go to the Winter Olympics next week, what are you most interested in watching as a winter sport? You said ski jumping.
Ski jumping.
That's it.
Just... No. I like everything because I'm like an Olympics junkie. So I love figure skating, like Nathan Chen. I'm all about him.
Can you do a triple axel?
That'd be a great time.
Only in the water.
Okay.
but no, I love watching all of it. And like, I literally sit in my living room, like, crying every night when people win their medals and, like, have that moment because it's just, like, it's so surreal and you're so happy for them.
Now, what brings you to Radio Row? First off, before we talk about that, what do you think of Radio Row? What is this like for you?
Radio Row, so there's a lot of tables in here. We're in the Mall of America.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting place to be because, like, I feel like Nordstrom's calling my name over
here. I was going to say, I totally don't want to stereotype, but, like, I'm geared towards the food court. I didn't know, like, are you geared towards the amusement park or any of the shops that are over here?
I'll probably do a lap and just kind of peruse, see what's going on. But, no, Radio Row is pretty awesome. We don't have this experience as Olympians. Like, you're really in lockdown. You don't have access to your family. You don't have access to the media until you're pretty much done competing. So this is, like, a pretty cool thing to be a part of and see the other side of what goes on. But what was the question?
Just what's Radio Row like? Is it like what you expected?
It is. It's a lot what I expected. Maybe a little bit more crammed in. I heard that it's typically in a bigger venue.
It typically is in a bigger venue, but this is a more intimate fan experience.
It is. It is. I think this is awesome. The only thing I would change about Radio Row is I would put it in a tropical location, which means I would put the Super Bowl in a tropical.
So
it is 5 degrees outside.
You'll be back when it's Miami,
right.
San Diego, Tempe.
Yeah.
Now, because you went to Georgia,
Are you a big football fan? Like, is this sore spot if I ask you Georgia, Alabama, like
it
how you're feeling?
It was a multi-day hangover after that.
Really? Yeah.
It was devastating. But, I mean, obviously so great to be there, to finally get there. But, oh, God, I wanted them to win.
Now, what brings you to Radio Row? Because you're here for a very serious reason.
Yeah, so I'm here to promote the LEAD Sports Summit, and that's for teenage girl swimmers. I founded LEAD last year, and basically what we do is we bring in about 100 teenage girls and female Olympic champions like Missy Franklin, Elizabeth Beisel, nutritionists, confidence coaches, and any question a teenager has, we have the answers to. And we do really fun activities, swim clinics, yoga, dance, stuff like that, but we also do, you know, great panel discussions with intimate Q&A and stuff like that. So it's an awesome experience over Labor Day weekend in Atlanta this fall.
Now, are these swimmers with Olympic aspirations, or are these just young females that want to be around the environment?
Absolutely. So our criteria is that you just have to be a swimmer.
Okay.
And for our last event, we had girls that were only high school swimmers, so they swam 3 months a year. We had girls that are, national age record holders and on their way to most likely qualify for the Tokyo Olympic Games. And that's what's so great about it, because it's not a select camp. It's not about how good of a swimmer you are. It's about, hey, let's teach you how to leverage your platform as an athlete, as a young woman, and make the most of it. Because even if you take swimming all the way to the Olympics, it's still such a small part of your life. But the lessons that you learn can be applied to your school, your family, your work, you know, everything in life. And that's what our goal is.
Where can we learn more?
LeadSportsSummit.com.
Carolyn Joyce, multi-time Olympian, three-time Olympian, and four-time silver medalist. I'm going to have to take a picture with these.
Yes, you should put them on.
I will put them on. That would be great. Carolyn, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm going to put on those. She's standing over here to the side, and she's got two silver medals with her, and I am going to put them both on. So, and Carol, yes. Carol, can we take a picture after we're done in like 2 minutes? Can we take a picture? All right, yeah, we can. So we'll do that, too. We'll post it up there on Twitter and Facebook. So Carolyn Joyce, a multi-time Olympian. And look, I'm excited about the Olympics, and I think there's not as much buzz this year about the Olympics, you know, the upcoming Winter Olympics. It's hard to believe they start in, you know, 1 week from tomorrow. And the buildup isn't as great as it's been in the past, partly because it's in Pyeongchang and there's been a lot of unrest in that part of the world right now, especially when you consider North Korea. Not to get political, but there's been unrest in that part of the world. We're looking at, you know, a place that's, you know, more than half a day ahead of us in terms of time. It just hasn't been the excitement level just hasn't been there, and it's coming right after the Super Bowl. We're in football mode. We haven't transitioned to anything else, but I am a big time fan of the Olympics, and hopefully it can be something that that unifies the world, because frankly the world needs it. So very, very cool to talk to Carolyn Joyce. She's not the only Olympian milling around here. We've got other Olympians here too, and I think a couple of them are going to come on with us later in the week. So a lot of fun. Again, let's reset all the housekeeping. Trivia tonight, that's at the City Sports Grill. Arnie is probably there right now. Half-price burgers, give away a ton of great prizes, a ton of swag, and it's going to be some Super Bowl-related stuff. They've got some extra great prizes out there because it's Super Bowl week. So City Sports Grill, that's tonight. UVM will be on the big screen. They're taking on Binghamton. We'll have the pregame show for you in less than 5 minutes. Also, Sunday, I'll be back from Minnesota, and we will be out at McGillicuddy's Five Corners in Essex Junction. We'll be there thanks to Coors Light and Blue Moon. We'll have a ton of swag from us, them, Love Vermont 802. We're giving away a big screen, 60-inch smart TV at halftime of that game. So we got a lot of things going on, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun, really. If you've been following us all week here, thank you. It's been a lot of work for everybody, from me to Rich to Arnie to Aaron back in the studio to intern Logan to intern Nathan. Everybody has had a hand in helping us bring you what we hope, what we think is Super Bowl coverage to be proud of. Thanks to our friends at the Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales, 3 miles east of Richmond, Route 2 in Jonesville. Thank you to them for making it all possible. We will be back here tomorrow, and tomorrow is another jam-packed day. I mean, people scheduled to appear on the show tomorrow. How about Liam McHugh? He's of NBC Sports Super Bowl coverage. He's also part of their NHL broadcast. Maybe we'll talk a little hockey with him. How about former NFL player Hussein Abdullah, played with the Kansas City Chiefs, Mike Golic Jr., Ken Rogers, the director of the 30 for 30 on Belichick and Parcells, which comes out tomorrow. That is all scheduled to come up tomorrow as we continue our coverage from Radio Row, Mall of America, third floor, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Champlain Valley game night is over. UVM men's basketball is next. Catamounts taking on Binghamton. So the Catamounts against the Bearcats, that one from Binghamton. Sam Hyman's on the call. We'll see you tomorrow from Minneapolis, everybody. It's 101.3 ESPN.